Weekends are funny on Absolute Radio.
And that all starts now with an exciting, effervescent addition to the Absolute Radio family.
John Richardson.
Exciting, effervescent, effortlessly uplifting.
Wait, is it? It is, yes.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the second, yes, I'm still listing them by number, it's the second John Richardson Show podcast here from Absolute Radio Towers. I am joined again by Carrie Godleman, so whatever else happened, whatever else you thought of the content last week, she's still willing to pretend to be my friend for money once a week, so can't be that bad, can it? It was a very fun show, as usual, much down to people's input by email and text. Here it comes.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome along. It is John Richardson here once again with the... Do you know, I went to use the word inimitable then.
It's a bit early for that.
I thought it was. I was just going to say amazing, and then at the last minute, my brain went, say inimitable. And then another bit of my brain said, no, don't do that. Would you have liked inimitable?
Yeah, I would. It sounds great.
Does it just mean you can't do an impression of you?
Is that all it means? I don't know. Stick with amazing. It's
the amazing
generic.
Carrie Godleman.
Thank you.
But then I said it. I didn't say it the way you're supposed to say. The amazing.
Yeah,
as requested by Carrie Godleman. The amazing Carrie Godleman. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
People have been stopping in the street about last week saying, oh, guys.
Yeah, I've been mobbed.
Whoa.
Yeah, I can't move around my local area now.
Didn't expect the landmark of British radio to have changed so fast.
Yeah, no, it was quite shocking.
Yeah. If you didn't hear last week's show, I mean, what were you doing? But I think this sums up what we got up to last week.
Jeez!
No! That was our conversation. You didn't hear it because you didn't have your headphones on.
I didn't have
the
headphones on.
I'll play you it again. Here we go.
Jeez!
No!
Is that me?
It's not a clip from the new Wallace and Gromit movie.
That is odd, isn't it? When you don't... I don't remember talking about cheese.
Don't you? It's pretty much all we talked about.
What? Oh, yeah, vegan cheese. All the vegan stuff.
I've been in an oxygen tent planning the first show for ages, and then you just kept banging on about your tomatoes. And then we got into a conversation about cheese and chutney.
Yes.
You were going to bring me a tomato from your glut.
I've used them all.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. I've used all the red ones. There's loads of green ones.
You've gone from glut to zero.
Yeah, I've used them all.
That was deliberate,
though. I mean, I made
soups
and soups.
But did you not at any point in the week think, oh, I promised one for John?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't think you'd want it. And then I've got to carry a tomato around. They're not easy to carry
around. How big are these tomatoes?
Hey,
not wheeling it in a wheelbarrow.
They're really big ones. I haven't got any for you. I'm really sorry. Plus, as well, I didn't want to invite your derision, so I didn't bring any tomatoes for you.
All right. Well, I was going to give you a jar of chutney, and I'm not going to now.
Oh.
No, you're not having it.
I'm sorry.
You didn't bring me a tomato. You're not having the chutney.
I will bring you a tomato.
It was a green tomato chutney from a posh shop as well.
Really?
Yeah, and now you're not having it.
Oh,
So we discussed a few bits and pieces food-related last week, and we've had a correction from a listener. Nice to annoy a listener, week one. I mean, I think we annoyed more than one, but only one has responded.
Who have you upset?
Let's go to Chris.
Dear John and the supremely talented Kerry, I shared my story with you on Saturday of how I stole some of the sauce from Patrick Swayze's food. I do, however, feel you judge me harshly, or more to the point, my finger. I was only 16, but I had my basic food hygiene certificate like you do. I just wanted you to know that my finger was not grubby, it was spotlessly clean. Looking back, I could have licked his fork after he had used it, like you suggested, but that is just very weird and very wrong. Kerry, I loved you and Derek, and you were sublime in Afterlife. John, I've seen you on 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Yours were clean fingers, Chris.
What do you make of that? I mean, if you didn't listen, that won't mean a lot to you. But
there's a lot going on there for Chris, isn't there?
There was a lot going on. I couldn't get over his voice.
Yeah, I mean, he was managing his rage. That's how I'd interpret that tone.
Supremely talented.
Yeah, I was happy with that.
Yeah, I bet
but
you were.
He was very cross with you.
John, I've seen you on telly. No further comment. I liked his voice. Sounded like David Quantick, I think, for
Who is David Quantick?
He's like a music journalist who would have popped up on your, like, pop's most embarrassing moments of the 80s. You'd see David Quantick. Oh, right. I remember the day Sunita turned up on Top of the Pops. One of them.
Yeah, he definitely had that vibe.
Very talented man.
You really upset him. You really upset Chris.
I know, but with that voice, I think it's hard. Do you know what I'd like, Chris, if you're listening, if you've stayed with us, I'd like to hear you joyful, because I think that's because we've got the same thing. I think your voice has eventually dictated your life. And I think Chris has got tired of being told, what do you mean? And he said, no, I did genuinely enjoy that. And I think now Chris has just learnt not to enjoy anything.
You've upset someone else as well.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, we've had another message from someone you did annoy. You know how you told everyone that you stole Ken Bruce's nameplate from a Christmas party as a keepsake?
I did, yeah. I still got it.
Well, we got this message.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, John, it's Ken here. Lovely to know you're working in the same building. I hope you're not quite as light-fingered as you were when we had a previous meeting. I'm not so worried about the nameplate, but I think the hotel would rather like the cutlery back. I don't think you'll get much money for it, so just give it back. There's a good chap.
Oh, he's just the best in the business.
Yeah. See, he doesn't sound cross, does he?
He doesn't. My heart is pounding.
You look so happy.
I'm so excited.
You just got chastised by Ken Bruce.
I know, I'll take it.
And you'll take it. You're just over the moon with that.
Oh, right. Right, let's play some music while I make a list of my idols, and then I'm going to slag them off and imply I've stolen their stuff, and we'll see what voice notes we can acquire over the next few weeks.
What a project.
John Richardson. R.I.C. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
It's the actual Ken Bruce. I mean, the actual Ken Bruce.
You're so giddy, aren't you?
I am. Do you know, that's probably like the fourth interaction we've had. I think we're best friends. But
come
it still
on,
gets
pathetic.
Me every time.
How can you construe that as now we're best friends?
Because he knows my name.
You off for nicking stuff out. Like, he told you off.
I know, but in a playful way, in the way that you only can with your best friend. Do you know, like, because we're so close, I can say I'm furious at you for not bringing me a tomato. If we didn't know each other, I'd say, oh, it's all right, mate. I didn't even want the tomato. But it's
fair
only
enough.
Because we're so close, I can tell you that
you
that is
that
one of the most despicable things anyone has ever done to me. And the fact that a week after our first show together on the launch of a brand new project, you didn't even care enough to bring something that you described as being the product of a glut. I mean, last week you were on air bragging about the fact you are inundated by tomatoes.
I might have exaggerated.
I can't move for tomatoes around my house.
Oh, no. You started doing that impression of me again.
Well, it's become a thing.
Whereas you sound like a gangster.
You can get on board and get one of me, or you can just...
I can get on board, can I? That's all I can do. Just go really nasal. That's all I can do.
What I want is that by next year, off the top of the show, you're just me and I'm you, and it's never referenced.
We just swap voices.
That's it. And even the listeners are like, oh, is that...
Which is which?
Is that Kerry's impression of John, or is that actual John?
Is that actual John?
And then when you know you've got me is when I start doing me as my impression of you.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, hello, everybody.
This is
going to
be too
Richardson
hard.
Here.
I'll start talking like that.
What do you mean, start?
That's you doing me.
What do you mean, start?
How rude.
Coming up shortly, I'm going to burst your bubble again. I'm going to rip through the pomposity of Saturday morning. So we've got an intriguing update on our efforts to sabotage the work of Matt Ford. But I would like your input on... I had a meeting this week, because I'm a mover and a shaker, and I had to cancel the meeting because of an incident that was happening to me at the time, and I cancelled it at very short notice. So
right. We're
not talking like half an hour, we're talking as the meeting is starting online.
That's not like you.
I have to send an email saying I'm not...
You're
going
very
to...
reliable.
I
what
am.
What happened?
I am. Well, I will tell you, but I would like to... The issue I had was this. The reason I had to cancel the meeting sounded so insane, it would have made more sense to lie than tell the truth. Because at the time, I had to decide, do I tell these people I work with why I can't make the meeting, or do I just say? And it set me thinking about whether you've ever had to be in that situation where it is just better to lie because of the insanity of the situation you're in.
Okay.
Because I was in a very compromising position and I didn't have time to lie and I didn't know what to say. I, with hindsight, I should have just said, my internet's playing up or something like that.
Right.
But I was in a position that I will fill you in. It was. I've had a higgledy-piggledy week, is all I will say to you.
Okay.
I've come to London.
Last
week, lots of prep, all getting ready for the show, all that.
Yeah.
This week, didn't bring my pass. Didn't bring your chutney. Didn't bring a belt.
Oh, you didn't bring my chutney. Just
didn't bring your chutney.
Good to know. So that guilt trip was needless.
Yeah. No, I think in a way I knew you were going to betray me.
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't bring a belt to London. Drove down in my tracksuit bottoms yesterday.
Okay.
Didn't bring a belt. What do you think I'm wearing? to hold my little trousers up.
String? Rope?
String. I haven't gone full step toe, but I am wearing... Do you want to have a little look?
What do you You've think got a dressing gown belt.
I've got my dressing gown cord on.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a... I wonder if that'll take off. If you wear that, like, walk around showing it off, you might set a trend.
I might if I was Timothy Chalamet, but I don't think...
You're definitely not Timothy Chalamet.
All right. One thing
Surely
to be told you couldn't
not
be
even
a Timothy.
Offensive. It's so
no, it is fair. It is fair. I think people would just think I was bringing... But the knowledge that I am, as I broadcast, wearing a dressing gown belt will... When I tell you what happened to me this week and why I had to cancel a meeting, it will all make sense.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with the inimitable Kerry Godleman.
You can keep saying it.
I am. I really like it. And I'm still not sure what it meant.
I like it.
I might have been cancelled already. I don't know what it meant. Might be something horrific.
Be
we don't
unfortunate
know.
This early in the show.
But I think you are it. Whatever it means, I think you are it.
What does it mean? I need to know now.
I think imitation, inimitable, means you cannot do... There's only one.
Oh,
there's
only I like that one. A lot. There's only one Kerry Godleman.
It is a bit... It's a bit wordy for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's only one.
How many syllables is that? I don't think I'd start that word because I don't think I could get right to the end without messing it up. Inimitable.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You've made the word itself inimitable.
Inimitable.
The unpronounceable Kerry Godleman. So I had a sofa bed delivered this week.
Okay. So this is the reason that
this
you were
the
late
reason,
to the thing.
Right. So I needed to go upstairs. Right.
Sofa bed, needed to go upstairs. A
couple
right.
of bits and pieces. I'm one of those guys, so when the lads arrived, I said, do you know what? I'll do the bookcase. And they looked at me as if to say, no, we'll do the bookcase. So that's what we're for. It was a very embarrassing moment. I said, nah, you're right, lads. I said, yeah, all right, lads. Yeah, just need a bit of help with the old sofa bed.
That's how you talk when
that's how
when
I talk, yeah.
Because
I wouldn't think I could have, if I needed to, I could have walked to a forest, cut a tree down and built this furniture myself.
There's no way anyone believed that.
With
John.
My own hands.
No way.
But sadly, because of time pressures, I've had to order flat pack online. How embarrassing. So, I was like, oh, yeah, don't worry, I'll take the bookcase. We need a bit of help with the sofa. We'll get to the top of the stairs. It's that, I've got a meeting at 12 o'clock. I've been told this furniture will arrive at some point between 8 and 2.
Right.
Sure enough, 11:30, I get the call. We're going to be there in half an hour.
Of course. Like, that was inevitable.
You are kidding me. So I think, well, it's not worth... What I don't like is boring admin. So if someone texts you and says, oh, are you free for this thing? And you can't tell them, I never reply to say I'm not sure. Because what a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
So I just don't reply until I'm certain.
Yeah.
So it's not worth emailing to say, guys, I might be a little bit late to the meeting because I'm having a sofa. Because you don't want to get into, like, furniture
life
delivery.
Admin.
Nobody cares,
no,
do they?
No, no, you're absolutely right.
But I don't want to say I might be late to the meeting without a reason because that just looks rude. That's like, guys,
right.
I might not be there. You know, we've all been planning it all week. I might just not come.
Yeah.
So I think, well, I'll just gamble that maybe they get here at 5 to 12 and maybe this sofa bed just glides up the stairs. Yeah. Maybe it's like up and they attach helium balloons to it. They've got this new system and it just floats up the stairs and into the front door. I probably know it's not going to happen like that.
No.
The gentleman, I'd say there was a sort of tag team element to the two people that arrived. There was a younger sort of apprentice-like gentleman mm-hmm. and an older years in the game, he knew this was going to be...
I like a double act.
Yeah.
I like a double act vibe when something, you know, when workmen come, I'm like, can we flesh this out with a double act sort of
Yeah, well, you
routine?
Do need a bit of, yeah, he's the one who's going to tell the other one what to do, put it that way.
Is it going to be eye rolling? Yeah. I always like a bit of eye rolling.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit of, oh, these young people, they don't know which end to go on. But he keeps saying, he's sort of humping it up the stairs. We get to the top of the stairs and now I know we're at the tricky bit because we've got a dog leg turn tight through the doorway
always
with the radiator.
Though. There's always going to be that dog leg turn at the top of the stairs. When is there not?
He's already. So he gets to the top. And in case you're thinking this is a comical thing, he's now very red and panting. And he keeps saying to me, my wife told me I've got to stop doing this.
Oh, God. This is really stressful.
There's no element of like...
That's stressful without the meeting.
Let's see if it goes. And I'm like, well, let's have a go, shall we? Because it's 11:59. So let's just have a go at it. Doesn't go in. We unpackage. We try and do it without the box. And then I say, It's the corner that's the problem. So if one of you goes top, one of you goes bottom, I'll go in the corner and I'll push it round the radiator.
Oh, this sounds bad.
This is the point it gets stuck. So
you were trapped.
I am wedged between a couch and a radiator on a tiny landing. I can just get my phone out. So what's that film where the guy gets trapped under a rock? It's a bit like that. It's 48 hours or something. It's
the arm one, when his arm's stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you like had that. To maybe think about sawing an arm off.
Flat pack furniture version, where I'm wedged between a sofa bed, a radiator, and a window and a door. I can just get my phone out. And then I think, well, the meeting's starting now. I can't say I'm stuck between a sofa and a door.
Absolutely not.
Because there's just too much information. And I can't laugh about it because this guy's like, go, come on. Now it won't go out the door and it won't go up the stairs. He is very angry.
Oh.
And I panicked and I emailed. I said, I'm not going to be at the meeting because I'm stuck between.
So you did say what?
I just had to be honest because I couldn't think of a lie in time.
Can
he
you just have taken a picture to explain it visually rather than with words?
There wasn't even space where it would have looked like I'd had a panic and hidden under my bed.
Oh,
That's what it would have looked like.
Yeah, that is chaos.
It was really
bad.
Did
they believe you?
I think they must have because why would you lie about that? But I would rather they didn't believe me and just thought maybe John's got a lot going on than that they thought, why are we potentially working with a man who at any point might be wedged between a sofa and a window? It was very unpleasant. He was very, but I have to say credit. I mean, we got it in.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We got it in. I think he's out of hospital now. No, I think he's okay.
Right.
The marriage sounded like it was on the rocks anyway, so I don't take any blame for that. It's been a very traumatic week. I'm wearing a dressing gown belt. So if you've ever been in a situation, social or professional, where the reason you can't come sounds so ludicrous that you think it's better to lie, I would love to hear them. And I've got an email address because I work here properly and I'm told that there's no plan to get rid of me.
Well, you've got two, but there's one you'll ignore.
Oh, there's the legitimate and illegitimate email address. There's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. You can slip an H in there if you want to tell me a private story that I will read, but not read out on air because of the disrespect shown.
This is a good excuse. Dear Kerry and John, when it's easier to lie, I just started a new job and on the first Friday morning, I got bitten in the eyelid by a spider. I know, whilst in bed, the pain was so horrid and my eye swelled shut. Who's going to believe that? Just sounds like you're a wastrel and I wanted a long weekend. That's Russell in St Albans.
It does a little bit, bitten by a spider.
But it's so specific. Why? You wouldn't make that up. If someone said to me, I'm sorry I'm late, I was bitten by... here we are. Is how you say it. If you go, I'm bitten by a spider, I'm running late. You've got to be like... you've got to really go into like this. The specifics of my eye swelled shut.
Mm.
That's key.
You need a picture, I guess, don't you?
Definitely a picture. And you can't just send an emoji. There's no emoji for your eyes swelled shut.
No, well, the new emojis are out this week.
Yes, I did see that story.
The new emojis are out, so perhaps there is swelled up and then a little spider one. But
yeah.
I don't think an emoji is ever an appropriate way to convey that you're not going to work.
It's quick though; it gets it done. If you can't see because your eye has swelled shut, you can't text a really detailed with like medical terms in it. So emojis do the job.
The green vomiting emoji. See you on Monday.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Would you believe that if I said, "Oh, I'm running late. A spider bit me in the eye," and would you believe me?
Well, there are a few issues there, Russell. First of all, whilst I sympathise with a spider biting you on the eye and what a traumatic thing that is to go for, you still could be on time for work, right? It's not a...
What?
Unless you're like, your job is archery.
Wow.
I would say that you can still go to work with a slightly swollen eye,
can't
you?
You'd make a horrible boss.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can still work, Russell.
Yeah, come in. I'll come and pick you up now. But I think you can still work.
No, but you need a bit of time to recover from getting bitten on the eyelid.
Well, as an employer, let me tell you now, that reflects badly. And also, it's about timing, isn't it? Because there is a point every year when Britain goes through its false widow and it's all over the papers.
Yeah.
Oh, false widows are coming in, or like...
Spider week, Daddy Long Legs week.
Yeah.
Flying ants week.
Flying ant week, or they're like, the papers will just say, oh, there's this new kind of bee that spits acid if you look at it, and they're coming. If this bite happened that week, I think it looks worse because it looks like you've just seen your head.
Yeah.
If it's false widow week. So I don't know. I don't know if
you're
I
not
believe
you wouldn't believe it.
I don't think so, no. I think I think I'm slightly dubious about that one, Russell. But I will, if it's any sympathy, probably not sleep well for a week for fear of a spider biting me on the eye. You can email more of your ludicrous but real excuses for not turning up to things. John, without an H, but don't write John without an H. I'm just put an H in it. I need to get over myself, don't I? John, however you want to spell it, probably not with a K in there, at absolute.radio.co.uk, or you can text 81250.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson and Kerry Godleman here on Absolute Radio. You're looking at the list of the new emojis.
Yeah, there's some new ones out. Do they come out every year, like a sort of...
I think so, yeah. It's like the Oxford English Dictionary. They get a new word.
There's some new ones out, but I wouldn't use any of them. Well, one. One is a face one that's, what, tired?
To give me context going into this, what is your current usage of emoji?
My favourite face one, I don't often use the non-face-based one. Tomatoes have been quite key this last week. But I do the...
And then presumably you just stopped altogether and everyone was like, oh, Kerry usually sends me a tomato emoji at this point, and then she's just without referencing
that, mate. You need to get over that. But I use the face, the what am I like face. What am I like? That face. That's the sound.
I thought that was something else.
That's the sound. Well, it could be lots of things.
That was
the guy
who was carrying my couch did. I thought
that
was
hernia. Yeah, you should have just sent that face. It's the kind of like wonky, like... face.
What am I like?
Yeah, like, oh, I'm all over the place.
So that's in response to like, oh, a spider's bitten my eye. I'm not going to be at dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Or I use the spiral eye one.
I can't use any of those.
Why?
Because I think I come across, I am scattier than people imagine, but my comic voice has meant I come across as quite a smug.
So what one do you use for smuggling?
Unpleasantly snidey. You lose that excuse when you're like, oh, well, actually, on time is late. You should have been early. If you're that kind of guy, you can't use, like...
Can't use spiral
wacky,
eyes.
Like, bleh!
What am I like?
I'll be there when I'm there. Bleh!
You just go with the straight face ones.
I now have learned that it's etiquette. I'm like an android learning human emotions. I've learned that I've just sent a crying laughing emoji.
Oh, John, that's not you. That's not on brand.
I know, I've never cried laughing.
No,
that's why
one has.
I am who I am.
Yeah, that's really odd. I'd be really unsettled if you sent me that.
I bet I've sent you one.
I'd be like, someone's nicked John's phone.
Would you take... But I've learned now from seeing it done... that a joke doesn't exist. It's like if a tree falls in the forest. If somebody texts you a joke and you don't respond with some acknowledgement, I used to put ha-ha.
Yeah, like I just, put ha-ha now.
Because I've seen that done, and I think, but I think that looks awful.
Yeah, it's ha-ha. Sarky, isn't it? Ha-ha.
Because I don't put exclamation marks. I think that's too, I don't go ha-ha. I put full stop. Ha-ha.
So it's just an acknowledgement. You just send the crying, laughing thing to say, I hear you, I see you.
But I don't really...
You're amusing.
And then I, as a result of that, I use emoji sarcastically. So tell me a new one I can use, like...
Well, these are odd. I can't imagine using them. There's a harp, a sort of dead tree, what looks like a root vegetable. That's lovely. I might use that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got some beetroots coming up. I might bring you a beetroot.
No, you won't. Don't lie to me.
There's a flag of the island of Sark in the English Channel.
Oh, yeah.
Was you crying out
so
for
I
that
tell
one?
You, do you know, funnily enough, this week I was on Sark foraging for mushrooms. And a tree fell down and the only way I could get help was to craft a harp. So I'll text you.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson here with the tomato-laden Kerry Godleman.
I preferred the other introduction.
Inimitable. Okay, we'll stick with that then. I'm going to riff on it. It's that time of the week. I mean, it always is, isn't it? It's the only time it can be. It's one of those radio things.
Yeah,
it's
that's
that time
true.
Of the week. What's
it's
the alternative?
This time.
Do you know what it is? It's the other time of the week. I don't know what happened over the news, but you've basically shifted into a whole new time warp.
A new time zone.
It's the time of the week where people are inclined to... You get up on a Saturday morning, maybe you were good last night, you went to bed early, you're feeling great, maybe you've done a run or something. You text certain people and they say, oh, well done. I don't want to do that. So this is my chance to bring you down a peg or two. So if you've achieved something this week that you're particularly proud of, you can email John at absoluteradio.co.uk. More to the point, if you've got someone in your life who you know you're going to see later, who's already done a half marathon or has already achieved something this week.
I'd avoid them.
You can avoid them,
yeah. Just don't hang out with people that have been running early on a Saturday.
Yeah,
just swerve them. Swerve them.
Stuck under a bookcase.
Tell you what I was
landing.
Feeling good about. I cleared up my potting shed.
Have you?
Yeah, I cleared it all out.
Okay, yeah. Because obviously,
feeling a bit smug about that.
How good does it look? You got
it
a
looks
picture?
Lovely. It looks really lovely. It's
does
got
it?
No spiders' webs. I put a rug in there.
How do you deal with spiders' webs?
Broom.
Just broom?
Broom them away.
And what about the spiders themselves?
They weren't in there. They weren't hanging out in there. I wouldn't
but
have done
that.
But
they were just out, weren't they?
No, these come were old spiders' webs. Those kind of fluffy ones that aren't real.
Okay.
Well, they are real. But they're not fresh.
And now
so
it's
I didn't
lovely.
Feel guilt. Now it looks all tidy and amazing.
Is that...
I put cushions in there. I'm feeling really smug about it. So really, please, don't spoil it, John. Don't spoil it. Look at you. Look at your face.
How tidy is it going to stay, really? It's an outdoor building, isn't it?
It's an outdoor building, so and it's going to get cold, so I doubt I'll be in there much.
Here we go.
Forward.
You're doing the work yourself. You're doing the keep going. Keep going.
But I had a really lovely... I cleaned the windows. The windows were filthy, and I cleaned them properly.
That is very good.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you've done that in time for the end of growing season when you've spent, presumably, the summer in there potting.
Yeah.
Will didn't know. You didn't know what a potting shed was. Perhaps there'll be listeners. Perhaps we've got young listeners.
Half shed, half greenhouse. That's how I'd describe it. half and half. Because I nearly got a greenhouse, but I was like, it's going to get too hot in there. I want a sort of shed vibe. Shed, too dark. Bit somewhere to go and cry, isn't it, a shed? So I got a potting shed, which is the perfect hybrid.
Oh, I think... We set this up each week with like, oh, I'm going to be the grumpy one and you've got something you're proud about. But the way you did that was just, I was just like watching it was like Messi watching a young footballer that he's trained. You talked yourself round from I've tidied my potting shed to, I mean, it's just a dark room to go and cry in at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was to say how brilliant a potting shed is.
Yeah.
You had to celebrate a potting shed that's anti-shed and anti-greenhouse.
There you go. Well, do you want a crying shed? A little crying shed at the bottom of the garden.
Sheds are a bit depressing, though, aren't they? They are somewhere just to have a little quiet time.
I just think
cry.
You give them over. Anything in your garden, you give over to nature. You can pretend it's your house, but it's not. It will soon be, it will belong to the woodlice and the earwigs and the spider widers.
No, I've got rid of the spider widers.
No, there you is, haven't. You've just destroyed their home. They'll build a new one.
But if I stay on top of the admin, I can keep them out. That's the plan. I won't. They're not welcome. But I politely say you're
No, but they
welcome.
Will come back and they'll get bigger over the winter because they were outside. They were living on your roof, like, oh, we'll let her have it for the summer for her tomatoes. And now they're watching you clean. And they're like, oh,
with all their eyes.
She's created a lovely nook there in that. I'm going to go right in that. They're in there now building. I've got one that is, I've recently installed one of those doorbells that films you as you arrive at your house.
Oh, I don't like them. They're weird. When people aren't in, when you ring the doorbell, I had to go and tell a neighbour about something.
I'm watching you.
And I rang the doorbell and she went, I'm not in, but I can see you. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Surveillance society, baby.
I don't like it.
We're on board.
I'm
watching you.
You
walk past my house, I'm watching you.
You know, there's telly, there's films, there's other things you can watch.
There's nothing like the activities of people who don't know they're being watched. And I put the speaker on as well, so I say that, I'm watching you. Fewer people go past now, I have to say. But a spider has started building its web across my front door. I think it's trying to snare me. I think it sees me as a snack-sized human being. So what I've got is a load of footage this week of me confidently going to put the bins out and then going, as I sort of consume a spider web and then
panic.
Yeah,
there's not a lot to feel smug about there, is there? You getting trapped in a spider's web.
I've got nothing, and I make no bones about it. I've achieved nothing. I'm not a smug person. But if you have achieved anything, if anyone you know has achieved anything and you want them bringing down a peg or two, now is your chance for me to sort that out for you. You can text us on 81215. You can email john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
I've got an email from Paul in Somerset.
Oh, good. Where I thought...
And he's put in brackets, as if you
Chris
care where I live.
I love to hear where people are listening from. I love Chris actually being Welsh when I clearly did a Devon accent for him earlier.
He said, I thought I would give you a chance on a Saturday morning. You're up. that's positive. That's encouraging.
I hope that's not the end of it.
No. He says, your upbeat approach to doing great things on a Saturday morning did inspire me to get dressed before 9:30 a.m. and go to the car 10 yards away to get my Bluetooth speaker so that I could better enjoy my experience of you. So I have a new PB of 9:27 a.m. for trousers on. What do you think of that?
That's good. let me just CSI for a moment. 9:27 is before he went to the car.
Yeah.
Good.
He got dressed before 9:30. So what he's celebrating is that he was dressed before 9:30.
Am I supposed to talk that one down?
Well, yeah. I mean, he said he's feeling good about it. So your job now is to make him feel less good about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that he knows it's not an achievement. There's a tone of irony there.
I think
there,
that's the subtext, yeah.
What he's really saying is, I would love to have gone naked to my car to retrieve my speaker, but since these video doorbells have become a thing...
Everyone's looking.
You can't sneak out now and blame it on Bigfoot. Maybe it's just a sighting. But I slightly want to know why the Bluetooth speaker was in the car.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
What's he doing?
Leaving stuff lying about. That's what you're judging.
Yeah, has he got one of the sort of 90s stereos where you take the front off and then he's lost the front of his stereo, so he's just having to...
I just thought it'd be one of those little boom...
But you wouldn't play it in the car, would you?
Oh, now we've got a lot to unpack. Okay, Paul, you're going to have to get back in touch.
Yeah.
What speaker is it? Why was it in the car? Yeah, that's weird. You're right.
It is weird, but I do appreciate the effort.
Maybe he'd been on a picnic.
Oh, you see the world through such lovely eyes, don't you?
He'd been on a picnic, he'd taken his speaker.
Yeah, because we all know the sort of man who doesn't get dressed until 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, wandering around in his undies.
Yeah.
He loves a picnic, that guy, doesn't he?
He's got a proper wicker hamper with his Bluetooth in it and his chutney.
Yeah. Basically Ratty from Wind in the Willows, just wandering around in a T-shirt
Why
on the riverbank.
Unless he's a fitness instructor. They carry them around, don't they, for their classes.
Okay.
So there's two options why he'd be taking it out.
There we go. Well, we've sort of, the feature has changed from do you want me to burst your bubble to what are the various reasons that the police wouldn't need to investigate a man who keeps a Bluetooth speaker in his car.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson and Kerry Godleman. I am released from behind a sofa. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who has messaged in and called me to ask about this.
Pivot! 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 Pivot!
It's a problem when you tell people you got wedged behind a sofa, they all picture that it was really funny. And I can't stress strongly enough, it wasn't funny at all.
Sounds funny.
It's Saturday
really
morning.
Sounds really funny.
It does. Yeah, they did it so funny. It was like unachievably funny, and the reality was not that funny. We're bursting bubbles this week. It's what we're all about. This is basically a response to the park run phenomenon. I think that's added an extra level of smugness to people who would have got up and done a run anyway.
Mm.
They've now got like a club, and they're pushed together, and there's times, and then they start taking their kids.
There's a hashtag,
yeah. And there's not even just like, oh, I've done this week. It's like, oh, and also my kids have achieved more than your kids already this morning.
No. Yeah, no, that's bad.
Have you ever done a park run?
Never.
Ever been tempted?
No.
Oh, that's why we get on. So I believe we've got a caller on the line. So I'm going to say, good morning, Vicky. What have you been up to this morning?
So I got up at about 6:45, had a coffee to get going, and then I've headed over to my brother and sister-in-law's house to clean, basically, because
what have you done in
there? Week ago today. So they got married a week ago today. They've been on their honeymoon. They're back today, and I wanted it to be nice and clean so they didn't have to worry about, you know, getting the house tidy whilst they unpacked.
That's very kind.
That
I'm gonna
is kind.
Pass you over to the nice person.
Well done, Vicky. I'm going to say some nice things before John really does lay into you. Well done. That's a very kind, selfless thing to do, especially because you added your house hasn't been cleaned yet. So you've cleaned someone else's house because you love them and you're kind. Okay, John?
Okay.
Careful.
Now, what state was the house in when you arrived, Vicky?
It wasn't too bad, to be honest.
Okay.
They've obviously come back from the wedding. They've kind of dumped some bits here and there. But, it wasn't bad at all, really.
And would you say, knowing them, that one of them is tidier than the other one? Is your brother tidy or messy and the partner is not so?
I think they're both half and half. I think they, when they're on it, they're really on it. And when they're not, they're not. They're kind of... They're the same person.
Because very often you find people will come together at opposite ends of the scale and that is problematic in a relationship. Yeah. But that suggests they've got a chance of getting through this. With the exception that you've now set such a high bar for what married life is going to be like that they're going to step off a plane from their honeymoon into a clean house. They will never be able to live up to that standard, and what you've actually done there is ruin the marriage. But I'm really grateful to you for calling in.
Sorry, Vicky.
As penance, I'll come round and clean your house.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I'll see you in about an hour.
Cheers, Vicky. Thanks for calling in.
You should go into marriage counselling. You really, really go. You really stuck a pin in that immediately.
Yeah, I think I heard you while I was talking to us. Just say wow.
Yeah, I mean it was quite. You turned that around better than the sofa. I mean the sofa situation. It was like, wow, that was horrible.
I got asked once to I can't remember, it was for a promo thing, to come up with some TV ideas, and one of them was the TV show First Dates is really successful.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what they should make is Last Dates, where you find couples who are right
John.
On the edge. You cook them a lovely dinner.
And you just watch the end.
And you see a countdown timer for each relationship when it's going to end. Just as the creme brulee arrives, it gets down to zero and you're like, oh, here we go.
I would watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's anybody in this industry listening who is up for a meeting, all my furniture has been delivered now, so let's set up a meeting and I will make it. And if you want your bubble burst, the number is 8 12 15.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Welcome along. I tell you what, this time of year, it is this is my burst your bubble. I'm going to bring you down a peg or two. I thrive this time of year. Whatever the opposite of seasonal affective disorder.
You like going into
that's
winter.
That's what I've got. This is when I really, the darkness is coming. The weather is getting colder. There are fewer outdoor social events. I really, really, really get excited this time of year.
Just as everyone's getting sad.
I don't think we should. I think that's us being dictated to. I think it's people like me that will, you know.
I like autumn. I'm not like a big lover of deep winter, but I do like autumn.
When does deep winter start?
Well, it's the 3 months of every season, isn't it? So now we're going into autumn. Deep winter
September,
starts
September, October,
what?
November.
Yeah, so
well,
December,
winter
January,
starts
February.
December, but when does deep winter start?
January.
Yeah,
post
I agree.
Christmas.
Yeah, winter's nice and then deep winter.
Crying in a shed. It's nothing to do. Christmas is out the way.
I love it. This time of year, I nearly went for you. I nearly went first cardigan this week. I've put them away for the summer.
I can't wait till the cardigans come out.
Yeah?
I've got a little gilet. I can't wait to get that going.
Oh, but I've reached an age where people buy me a gilet and I don't think I'm there yet.
Oh, you're there, John. You're very much there, mate.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't believe you weren't wearing them as a toddler.
What a time to find out you're gilet. I picture gilet as walking two big dogs through a field. That's
no,
what
they're
I picture
gilet. They're more groovy than that now. And I'm using the word groovy.
Do you wear a gilet?
All about in my potting shed, where you want your arms free and cool, but you want
so
your
you take
torso
the straight jacket off.
Toasty.
I'm going out to the potting shed. Will you unleash me, please?
Yeah, you want your arms to be nice and cool, but your torso to be toasty.
Well, there you go. Are you going to wear a gilet next week then? Because I'll wear a cardigan.
Remind me, because I forget stuff. But if you,
I reminded you about the tomato, mate. So let's not pretend you.
I will wear the gilet and I'll bring you a tomato.
Someone's texted in to say, give Kerry the chutney.
Yeah.
He
said you were mean.
I will give you the chutney when you give me the tomato. I think it's quite a fair trade, to be honest.
It is on my part, because the chutney sounds fancy.
It's
and
a
my
good
tomato
chutney.
Is rubbish.
I'm going to get an awful tomato for a chutney, but you just have to
that's
hold
a good
up
swap.
Your end of the deal.
Oh,
next
no
week,
problem.
You come in gilet. I'll come in a cardigan and
then
have
it's
some
autumn.
Chutney.
We're into autumn.
Get to a point where I'm sort of saying it as if, God, tune in next week, guys. And then I think, well, I think I've done the opposite. You want to have next Saturday off? We're just going to put knitwear on and eat chutney.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Smugness.
Yeah, Chris has said, you're great, you make me smile while I'm doing my 10,000 steps.
Oh, that's really good.
Shut up, Chris. Well, keep that to yourself, Chris.
Yeah.
What does he do? Count each one?
Well, there's technology for that, isn't there?
Oh, I haven't got any of those.
I realise.
Do you need a Fitbit?
Yeah, have you not got like a shed app?
No.
You cried this many
like
tears this week.
I do feel a bit smug. I've started doing weights, John.
Have you?
Yes. Don't sound so surprised.
No, I mean, I can see.
Yeah.
I just assumed that was like, you know, you were one of these wilderness exercises. That's what I meant. You didn't strike me as someone who'd have all the kit. You like, you just go out and lift a log. That's That's what I meant.
No, that wasn't me before, but it could be now. Weights are the thing.
You've got to do weights, haven't you?
Everyone goes on and on and on about it. All the influencers are doing it. Yeah. All I follow are people that lift weights and spoon carvers. I've niched down my influencers now to those two.
I'm gonna open up our world to the listener for a moment, because we started coming at the same time. I've known you 20 years.
Yeah.
We were at first Edinburgh's together.
Yeah.
Big value with emotional years.
Leafleting on the Royal Mile, crying.
We go back a very long way. That's when you used to cry outdoors.
Yeah. I didn't have a shed then.
Yeah.
At the beginning,
you just find a piece of wood to touch while you cry. It was the signs were there. But obviously, you know, then you have kids and you move away. We haven't seen a lot of each other over recent years. You're not the person I thought you were.
Really?
No.
What did you think?
I didn't know you were a spoon carver fetishist. I didn't know you had a potting shed.
No. I've changed, John. I've aged. That's what's happened.
Oh, I like it.
Over time, you stayed old when you were young. You were old when you were young.
Yes.
I was young, but now I am older.
You are, you've caught me up.
You've bent time. Yeah, of course.
But now you've got that, because in talking about, you know, the smugness, I think my biggest challenge was with you, because you sound like you have a lovely life. Off air, you were telling me you just lit a fire pit last night.
Yeah, I had a fire pit last night.
Just had a fire pit?
Yeah, just had one.
Cheeky
on a Friday
fire
night.
Pit. Cheeky Friday fire pit.
Why not?
There's a TV show. Friday Night Fire Pits with Kerry Godleman.
I tried to make my family join me, but they were like, we've got a telly. Why would we do that? I was like, it's atmospheric.
It does sound wonderful, and
it's
a real challenge to be smug about it. But luckily, we've had a text from your neighbour who says, imagine my surprise when it was the last good outdoor drying day of the year yesterday.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
You are listening to John Richardson and the unimpressionable of... You cannot do an impression of Kerry Godleman. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but that's a much longer way of saying it.
It is, yeah. But I was also referencing the fact that when I do my impression of you, you don't seem to like it.
No, I get a bit...
It's an homage, really.
Well, really, really. Doesn't sound like that. Doesn't feel like that.
So we're going to discuss the news that's news that wasn't in the news, after the news. So what news have you found that wasn't on the news?
Have found a slightly alarming story. Thousands of rare spiders the size of rats have been released across the UK after a 15-year-long conservation project. These are fen raft spiders. They were on the verge of extinction. Your face! They were on the verge of extinction 15 years ago. But thanks to these conservationists, up to 3,750 breeding females have been recorded at 12 sites in Norfolk alone. So
okay,
be vigilant
fine.
In Norfolk.
That's away from me. How far can they walk?
Quite far. They've got legs. And also they've got eight of the guys. They are also semi-aquatic. They can run across water.
Oh no, what is this?
So that's quite...
I try really hard because I'm one of those like eco guys. I don't know if I mentioned last week, but I'm like totes vegan. Yeah. I try really hard. So every summer, at the start of every summer, I Google wasps and I say, I'm going to read about wasps. I'm going to find out why wasps are good. And they do loads of stuff.
Yeah.
So that when I see one, I don't have my instant reaction, which is, we don't need you. We only need bees. And I do it all the time. I'm really trying with spiders.
But we need all of them, all these.
We do need everything.
Creatures.
But do we need the fen raft spider? Why do we need that?
Well, it was
why
protected, so there must be a need for it.
Why?
Well, it's doing something in the food chain.
It's keeping me away from Norfolk, is what it's doing.
It's got a job, hasn't it, in the ecosystem? You need all these guys.
But
all
we
of
don't
them.
Have like tennis ball sized flies, so we don't need rat sized spiders.
Well, they're eating damsel flies, dragonfly larvae, pond skaters, and they can also catch fish.
This is not true.
Apparently, they can catch fish and tadpoles. That's what they're eating.
Oh my God.
No, it does sound a bit sci fi.
You look me in the eye. They catch fish.
Yes, is it here on
rat
this
rat-sized spiders that have can catch
they
fish.
They will even catch fish and tadpoles. So we must be talking tiny fish the size
in
of
webs.
Tadpoles. Not pike. They're not catching carp.
But
they're
I'm
just
looking
like
forward to the next series of Reeves and Mortimer and Whitehouse go fishing.
Yeah, that's going to change it.
Next to a massive spider. But presumably in a web, they don't make a rod. Out of something they...
Doesn't say, John. Doesn't say they make rods.
This is asking more questions.
It says their bites are poisonous as well. Sorry to add that.
I...
But they're not dangerous.
I don't think there's a single good thing in anything you've said there.
No, I am struggling to find the upside.
They're too big. There's a reason they disappeared. They're eating fish. They're poisonous. They can walk on water.
And they can bite. Yeah, no, there's a lot there.
I'm going to change my story to a nicer one. I'm going to find something about...
Oh, and actually, another thing. Their web is as big as a pizza. Although all webs are as big as a pizza, aren't they?
It depends on the size of the pizza, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or does it mean thickness? Are they like deep pan? Like...
And the stringy bits are like cheese.
Yeah, their web has a stuffed crust.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to Absolute Radio. For therapy, really. Mm. My news story is that you are now a therapist, Kerry.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. How come?
I'm a therapist. Researchers say that laughter may be just as good as eye drops for treating conditions like dry eye.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I put that on my CV?
If you need it.
I will.
It's going all right, though, isn't it?
I'm going to put it on. I've got camel riding on there. I've put camel riding on there as a specialist skill. Now I'm going to put... I'd go as far as to say we're medics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Paramedics? No, don't text in. If you're an angry paramedic, don't text in. This is your acting CV you're talking about.
Yes.
Have you really got camel riding on there?
Yeah, I put it on there when I was younger as a joke and left it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is going to backfire horrifically. You step off that plane into the desert heat. I just need to have a quick word about my CV. So apparently repeating, he, ha, 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 cheese, cheese, cheek, 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 ha, 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 ha.
That's not laughing, though.
No, but it's as good as I get. I don't know if you've seen me on tour recently.
Is that what your audiences are saying?
Cheese, 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 cheek, cheek, cheek.
That's weird.
If you repeat that a number of times a day over an 8-week period, it may reduce the symptoms of dry eye. And this laughter exercise, I think the idea is that saying it makes you laugh because it's bonkers.
Yeah, you just said it and you didn't laugh.
No, but I'm dead inside.
I did almost eye drops, otherwise you're going to look like an idiot.
Ha ha, he he he, ha ha ha, cheese, cheese,
cheese.
It is funny.
Cheese, cheese. I suppose it does make, it pushes your cheeks up to that sort of laughter face.
Yeah. Dry eye disease is a common condition which occurs when tears are not able to give the eyes enough lubrication, leading to symptoms including itchy, sore and red eyes.
Wow. Now, people with that then know what to do, just go and see some comedy.
Yeah, not me. I think I might be responsible for the epidemic of dry eye disease. I've come out of gigs like, is it hay fever season? Audience just red-eyed, constantly clawing at their eyes the whole time. And that's expert information gleaned from 300 people.
That's not enough people. That's not a proper medical trial, is it?
All right, mate.
What's a proper medical trial? More than that.
Right, we'll take it off your CV then. You're not a medic.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you wanted?
That was quick.
And we're waiting on a potential rebuttal on the spider storyline, are we?
Turns out you someone maybe... came and said, not the size of rats. That's a myth. Tonally, it was like that. And there's no punctuation. So I need way more. If you want this to be a credible rebuttal, I need more information.
Could go one of two ways, though, couldn't it? They're not the size of rats, actually. They're the size of small dogs, which is even worse.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson and Kerry Godlam, and we are here not nearly so live as we will be on Sunday the 17th of November. Absolute Radio Live will return to the London Palladium for radio's biggest comedy night. I will be hosting alongside the wonderful Matt Ford. We have Absolute's Glenn Moore will be there as per usual. And I can tell you now, we've already got Josh Widdicombe. We've got Susie Ruffle. We have more names being announced. I know who they are, but I'm not allowed to tell you. But they are amazing. And we'll be raising money this year for the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital charity. That is a charity very special to our very own Matt Ford. He popped onto Dave Berry's breakfast show on Monday morning to announce the gig. He has become an ambassador for the charity, and he told them about what they do.
It's such a special place. The treatment that you get there really is above and beyond. And it can only really operate with the help that the charity does. It does phenomenal work, raising money for it, helping the patients there. And I was on a ward with people from all over Britain. This wasn't just a local hospital. This was people from Leeds, from Cornwall, from Newcastle. Hopefully, none of us ever have to go there, but I did, and I saw firsthand. And my recovery would not have gone the way it did without the work of that charity.
It is an exceptional charity. I visited him once briefly. I was in the area, and I tell you what, it's free parking, which you don't get a lot of medical places, so it's quite handy, actually, for if you're in town. Pop and C4D, help his recovery, but equally then commute into town so you're not paying central London parking prices. You know, that really is the boon of visiting Matt Ford during his recovery.
Parking, that's what you're going to go.
Free parking, and they've got an on-site coffee shop. So get a coffee, go and have your meetings,
do your business.
On the way back, just if you're busy, the ratings run over, just wave through the window. That's what I did. Counts as a visit, doesn't it? Technically. Just say hello. Anyway, Matthew is out. It's an exceptional place, and the staff were absolutely unbelievable. So I'm really delighted that we'll be raising money for them. As I say, the lineup's superb. Kerry Godleman, on record as saying, I hate charity and will not work for any of them. Is that right?
That's what you said off air. No, come on. I've done that gig and it's a lovely gig.
It is.
Very exciting to play the Palladium.
What a special venue.
What a special venue.
The history.
Yeah, Judy Garland.
Yes.
Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
All the greats.
The great comedians of our time.
It's a very historic theatre, isn't it?
It is very special. And Bruce Forsyth. He's still there. He's there now. He's under the stage. Absolute Radio Live, hosted by myself, Matt Ford, starring a list of incredible comedians. It's on Sunday, the 17th of November. The tickets are on sale now if you'd like to be there. You can get them from the Absolute Radio ticket store. That's absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
As well as hosting Absolute Radio Live, of course, Matt Ford is back from 2 p.m. this afternoon with Rock and Roll Football. He's reunited with Matt Dyson, who's back. They've got all the Premier League football. You'd think I'd want to be nice to Matthew with Forest being away at Liverpool this week and with an absolute spanking in the offing, but I'm not going to. They will have Tim Lovelock, Joy and Helen Chamberlain, formerly of Soccer AM. They've got a game to play with them. It is all looking really good for them. I'd like to ruin his afternoon. last week was the launch of this feature where I ask you to text in to get Matt Ford to read things against his will. Last week, following my intimate lunch with Colin Firth, I can reveal that I passed Colin's nuts on to my mother this morning. She received Colin's nuts. She wasn't massively blown away, I don't think.
You surprised me.
Yeah, it didn't go as well as I'd hoped. Do you know, I genuinely nearly saved them for Christmas. And I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
The response they got, it didn't justify being put in a box frame because the box frames with the depth, they are expensive. Last week, I asked you to text Matthew Ford's show with Colin Firth Films and get a load of this.
Got a text here from Stu in Rochdale. It says, hi, Fordy, what's going on between you and John Richardson? I can't remember exactly what he said, but the insults were definitely at fever pitch. What's he doing?
Don't know.
He's obviously just joined Absolute Radio. He had his first show earlier today. He's obviously been running his mouth.
Oh.
Stuff gets back to me. This is what you need to understand.
Stu in Rochdale. Absolutely
very
sensational.
Good.
Do you know what I love? Because he got it in explaining to Fordy what the thing was. He basically said, oh, he's doing this thing where you have to read out Colin Firth films. I mean, he couldn't have hoodwinked him better.
Yeah.
And it's a football one. I mean, that is...
so good.
Obviously, we've only done this feature once, so he's top of the league anyway.
He set the bar very high.
Were there a league to be top of in this, that is really good work. And I would love for you to do it again today. So given that I got stuck behind a sofa bed on a landing... I think pieces of furniture, if you can make him read out the name of a piece of furniture. Mm. We have the slight... I'm going to claim it basically that every time he says a drawer, I'm going to count that as a piece of furniture. So what I'm hoping for is no goals anywhere in football. And next week, just a montage of 2 minutes before they go, draw, 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 score, draw, no score, draw. But you could perhaps do better than that, Kerry.
What about nice to see Dyson back off the bench?
Yes. Lovely.
He's unplayable when he puts his foot on the gas.
That's very good. That's
thank you.
That's really good.
Happy with that.
And I like a futon as well because it's a really successful piece of furniture.
No.
Nobody likes them. It's a bit like awful. Me. And it's just like, why are futons still a thing? They're so uncomfortable.
Oh, whole shops devoted to them.
I think I'm a futon. I think I'm just a little bit everywhere. It looks
flat,
like it's going to do the job, doesn't it? You look at it and you're like, ooh. And then when you get on it, you're like, it's just giving me a bad back, made me feel sick.
They don't work.
If you have the opportunity to text rock and roll football with a piece of furniture, I like a tall boy up front. That's that's the one I'm going for. But we will play the best out next week. And congratulations this week to the peerless Stu in Rochdale.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
That is a new band called The Killers.
With new music.
What do you think? I changed the name if they really want to make it. I think it's a little bit harsh. The Coddlers. Something like that, you know, people are looking for something
it's not
now
any edge.
That just makes them feel good. Well,
no,
I think rock's
edge.
Finished its edge days. I think rock now needs to embrace the mainstream.
The Coddlers.
Yeah, so if you liked those guys, The Killers, then you can get
buy
that LP
record.
From our price, I guess. Good luck to them. Good luck to them. Spider-Gate's kicking off,
there's
is it?
There's so many spider techs. Stephen Croydon, he said he's been in an A&E several times. Due to spider bites. I don't know what he's doing.
That sounds like negligence.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Steve
he's
again?
He's taunting them. He's goading spiders.
They are not a snack, Steve.
False widow venom is nasty and it hurts. That's what he's saying.
So what we need to do is set up a meeting between Jason in Erith and Steve, and we find out once and for all whether spiders are dangerous or not. I guess they duke it out down some sort of back alley somewhere. We'll
because
set that
someone
up for you
else
guys.
Is saying apparently all spiders do have venom, but they're not able to bite through human skin. So
well, you can see some John Richardson stand up on this back in the vintage era when I really cared about daddy long legs. I do care about this, and we will be back next week. Kerry, I'm going to check in every week. Are you still happy to come back next week and pretend
I am
to be my
come
friend?
Back next week, and I am going to bring you a tomato.
You bring me a tomato, mate. I'll give you some chutney. And if that doesn't get you tuning in, then I don't know what will. You could email there any point during the week if there's anything you'd like to discuss. John at Absolute Radio. I'm absolutely loving it. It's Sarah Champion coming up next. She's here till 2, at which point the Mats, Ford and Dyson will take over with rock and roll football. I'd love you to send in some furniture-based puns for them to read out. Don't forget to get your tickets for Absolute Live. They're available now on the website. Thanks for joining us. I'm loving this. Thanks to Will and Jeff in the studio. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
That's it for this week's podcast. Thank you for downloading. I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having being back, so I really appreciate you downloading and listening. If you want to hear us live, as ever, we will be back next Saturday, live on Absolute Radio from 8 a.m. I mean, unless something horrific happens to me or the world. You know, I don't want to go into the list of things I worry about, but I'm imagining this week will feature mainly getting bitten by a rat-sized spider in a shed. Providing that doesn't happen, I'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.